This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to Place to Be Nation, Pops, Looking Forward, Looking Back, the show that takes a look at the worlds of pop culture and sports, as well as looking back at events and seasons of the past. Here is your host, Andy Atherton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of Looking Forward, Looking Back, here on the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. I am Andy Atherton, and tonight we are previewing the next upcoming movie season, although it's generally not an exciting one. There are some good movies to talk about, so I've got one of my normal crew, my usual suspects here, to help break it down and tell you how to use your dollars wisely when it comes to your cinema viewing choices. Starting off, he is one half of Talkin' Pop, he is one third of Talkin' WCW, and one fourth of the Marvel Age podcast. It is Tim Capel. Tim, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay. I don't know that I can be considered an authority on anything concerning wise choices, however. So we'll see what we get into tonight. This is a little bit of a wasteland, this upcoming movie season, but there's some stuff in here that kind of caught my eye.
Yeah,
so we'll dive in.
Yeah, we've gotten some surprises over the last few years, at least one or two hits have come out. I mean, nothing that screams Black Panther like that, but, you know,
there are
a few maybe hidden gems in here. And speaking of hidden gems, well, not a hidden gem,
oh,
she's an out
the
there gem. Gem. She is one. She is Jenny of Jenny and the Gems. She is also one third of Talking WCW and the proprietor over on the Jenny position of great shows like Geek and Sassy, Telling Stories. What was that other one? Your new one, Bianca's First Time, I believe. Miss Jennifer Smith.
Hey, Double A, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jenny?
I'm doing great.
All right. Ready to talk some winter movies?
Always.
Always. That's what I like to hear. And finally, rounding out tonight's quartet, he is one half of the Place to Be podcast and the co-host on the main event over on the Wrestling Feed and my co-host here on the Pop Feed on Your Pop, as well as one of the gems in the aforementioned Jenny and the Gems, Mr. Scott Criscola. Scott, how are you tonight?
Sounds like you just called us a whortet.
Well, Freudian slip.
You're a whortet, Scott.
I damn, yeah.
Hooah.
And hooah-tet.
The motto's here?
I wanted to see how many more fractions you were going to do for Tim. You're a third of this, a quarter of this, and an eighth of what?
That was pretty good, though. I like those fractions. Worked
yeah.
out.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I was told there would be no math, but that's fine.
I am looking forward to this upcoming season of movies. Number one, because there's some great horror. And number two, because we're in a season now where there's no no big super movie to look forward to. We're kind of just off of Bond, which will technically start in the spring. Mm-hmm. But we don't have any real Marvel. Obviously, Star Wars is in the rearview mirror. So I'm kind of looking forward to talking about this list because there might be some hidden gems that maybe not many people know about. So I'm ready to dig in.
And that's what we're here for. We're here to hopefully point people in the right direction when it comes to movie choices. So starting off right after New Year's on January 3rd, we have The Grudge, a continuation, I guess, or is this a remake, a requel? Basically, a house is cursed by a vengeful ghost that dooms those who enter it with a violent death. It is starring Betty Gilpin, Andrea Riseborough, Lynn Shea, and William Sadler. So, Jenny, are you a fan of The Grudge series?
I like The Grudge. I was told it was like one of the scariest movies that one of my friends has ever seen, but it didn't scare me that much, although for what it is, yeah, it's pretty good. Also, you're forgetting the I feel like the main character in this, which is John Cho, one of my most favorite people in TV and movies. So I'm excited to see him in this remake, requel, is that what you called it?
I guess I mean I you know I not the biggest horror fan. there are, I pick and choose some, but the Grudge, no, I'm good. But
I feel like this is a remake, though.
Yeah, I think it could be, because they already had like a trilogy at least, right, of this series. So I'm guessing maybe it's just a update, a reboot, if you will, I guess. Scott, you're the other main horror fan on the show. What about you? Are you interested in this Grudge?
It is a reboot.
Okay.
It's a reboot. There's really no kind of
a
guessing.
A requel. Yeah.
It is a requel. Yeah. There's really no guessing here. Because, I mean, there's no, otherwise it'd be Grudge 4, right? There were three of them, right? So Grudge 4, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, this is definitely like a requel. I'm pumped for it. After recently watching all seven in the Conjuring series, I'm kind of intrigued now by the way horror movies are shot now and written, what they'll do to freshen it up. Now, at first, when I first found out they were doing this, I'm like, isn't this movie only like 15 years old? When did it come out, like 2003 or 2002? I can't imagine it being that old. So I'm like, did it really need a requel? But then I watched the trailer and I said, maybe.
Well, the Grudge, the original one is with what's her face from all the 90s horror movies.
Sarah Michelle
Gellar. So, yeah, her. So it feels more dated than it actually is just because she's in it, if that makes sense.
Right.
It does actually make sense, believe it or not. Yeah.
Plus we have Betty Gilpin,
who is
hot off of Glow and also is in that other movie that got pushed, which was we were supposed to talk about it last time we got together. The Hunt, which looks very interesting to me. But yeah, she's I'm interested in what she does because she can act, that girl. So, Tim, does this interest you at all? Are you a fan? Have you seen
a little bit? I didn't think this would interest me because I have to admit I'm not the biggest fan in the world of that Grudge film from the early 2000s. Just that early 2000s American horror period is kind of for me. This we should mention is, I mean, in and of itself, that 2004, I think it was, movie was based on, you know, a Japanese film already. So we're having to sort of translate things for a different market and a different audience. And I didn't really love it. So I saw that they were making this reboot, requel, whatever we're calling it, and was like pretty dismissive at first. And then I watched that Red Band trailer and I was like, oh, you've kind of got my attention. We've got Sam Raimi. So this looks like a very sort of hard R return to form for him, which I'm going to be there for. And yeah, good cast, John Cho and Betty Gilpin, fans of them as well. So has the right ingredients. I might be on board with this. I do kind of like, Scott mentioned the way that these modern horror films are shot and just the overall production now compared to that, again, early 2000s period. So this, we might have something to work with here.
Yeah, plus it probably has a low budget, so expectations aren't that high. So
right. Isn't it amazing that 2004 was 15 years ago?
It is.
Yes.
I thought that movie was from like 2001.
I know, like, right? Yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? It was 2004. Oh, that was still 15 years ago. So, yeah.
All right.
That's coming a horror in of itself. Just yes, the year.
It is a horror. Yeah.
2004, that was a good week.
And they pumped those things out quick, too. Like the sequel came out in 06 and the third one came out in 09. So they pumped out three of them in 5 years, very Friday the 13th ish. So even the third one is 10 years old. that speaks volumes. But now that I think about it, the more we're talking about it, I think this definitely needs a refresh. So I think it's good timing for it.
Yeah, cool.
Hope you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So opening on January 10th is a comedy, Like a Boss. Two female friends with very different ideals decide to start a beauty company together. One is more practical, excuse me, while the other one wants to earn her fortune and live a lavish lifestyle. Starring Salma Hayek, Rose Byrne, Tiffany Haddish, Billy Porter, and also Jennifer Coolidge. So this looks like kind of like one of those dumb, you know, they are you know, poor, like not poor, but, you know, like, you know, they're nobodies in the fashion industry. And then they kind of get like their big break, unbeknownst to an evil, you know, corporate designer that wants to steal their shit and not give them any money. Mm-hmm. So, Scott, what do you think of Like a Boss when you saw the trailer?
It seemed pretty cookie cutter kind of, you know, buddy comedy kind of thing. Mm-hmm. This isn't one that I would go see, but I'm sure it'll do pretty well. You know, it's gonna be one of those. This is actually a good time of the year to release a movie like this, because in the wintertime when the weather's shitty and, you know, like it's a, you know, if it's out, it may be something people may just check out for the heck of it on like a matinee or something. Because if this is like in the spring or in the summer when there's a ton more heavyweights around it, cats, you're going to get like fucking nobody. So this was probably a good time of the year for this to come out, because, you know, winter weather, you know, like Martin Luther King Day when everybody's off, it might be something to go see. But I'm sure it's funny, but not my cup of tea.
Yeah, Tiffany Haddish is pretty hot right now. Tim, you a Tiffany Haddish fan?
I am. I am sort of a Tiffany Haddish mark, and I'm especially a Rose Byrne mark.
Yes, me too.
Had kind of a crush on Rose Byrne for better part of a decade now, really, which is hard to believe once again. So, yeah, based on the description of this film, didn't sound like something I was at all interested. But given that cast and, again, watching the trailer, it looks kind of good. Like, it definitely looks very funny, even if it is that probably very cookie-cutter plot. I wouldn't disagree with that. But I don't know. They might really surprise people. Not one I will be seeing in the theater. Just, I mean, it takes a lot to get me out to the theater anyway. But as soon as this one hits, you know, on demand or streaming, I mean, I will I'll be looking for it. I do wonder about the title, Like a Boss. It feels like one of those movies that, like, they came up with the script and the plot and then were like, so what do we call it? And it was sort of like maybe written in committee sort of thing. Let's call it Girl Boss. No, I don't like that. We'll just call it Boss Bitch. No, we can't sell that. Like a Boss. Yeah, that'll work. Just call it Like a Boss. Just sort of generic, you know.
Sounds like a whiteboard was involved.
A little bit. Yep.
Jenny, what about you? What do you think of this movie?
Well, as much as you guys are Tiffany Haddish marks, and I kind of am too, Selma Hayek is the seller for me in this movie as a heel. She looks super fun as the bad guy in the movie. I don't want to say this is like Bridesmaids level, but like maybe a little bit like a step below Bridesmaids level. So like a lots of girl power type comedy. And Rose Byrne is hilarious, as is Selma and Tiffany. So I could see this being really fun, but like Tim said, more of a streaming rental type deal for me. Probably not going to the theater.
Yeah, Redbox, on demand. That for kind
sure.
Of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So then also,
I started to make the Bridesmaids comparison also, but then I chickened out.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
There you go.
Thank you.
Also opening on the 10th, Underwater. A crew of aquatic researchers work to get safety after an earthquake devastates their subterranean laboratory, but the crew has more than the ocean seabed to fear. It's starring Kristen Stewart, TJ Miller, John Gallagher Jr., and Jessica Henwick. So, Jenny, what do you think of this one when you saw the trailer?
Okay, so this is like sort of in my wheelhouse. These kind of shit movies with your TJ Millers and your Kristen Stewart, who a lot of people hate. Like, a lot of people hate Kristen Stewart. And
a lot of people hate TJ Miller.
A lot of people hate him. just a lot. So, but this is the sort of thing that I would like watch and get like a cheesy enjoyment out of, a la Deep Blue Sea, The Meg, things like that. Although this looks to be more supernatural than it does like Killer Croc based. So
Oh man,
I kind of love the idea of them, like, on the bottom of the ocean in these suits, having to walk across the bottom of the ocean. Like, I like that. I think that there's a lot to do with that. Probably not going to go to the theater to see it again, but I don't hate it as much as it would seem that everyone else would hate it.
It looks like it'd be much scarier in the theater because of the sound, surround sound, and all stuff. Scott, would you compare this to any movies that we've seen before, like in this genre?
The Abyss, maybe.
The Abyss, Leviathan. Mm-hmm. Any of those
Deep
kind of
Star Six,
Deep Star, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's
even Alien. If you flip it from space,
exactly.
To sea.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Right. Which Leviathan and Deep Star Six were compared to?
Right.
Basically, you take off your mask, you die.
Yeah. If Kristen Stewart had the popularity of Sigourney Weaver, she only wishes.
You know, I think she looks slightly badass in this, but that's just me. I give her a little bit more room than most people do, but she looks all right.
She looks slightly badass in the Charlie's Angels trailers too.
I kind of dug the short hair. I'm gonna go see this. This might be one of my Tuesday night $6 specials, but I'll probably go see it. I'll definitely go see it. I kind of like the kind of claustrophobia type horror, mostly being a sci-fi fan. Anything like encased in spaceship or, you know, tankers or that kind of thing, I can, you know, that's my jam. So I think this will be pretty good. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt, because I don't know if this is like her first movie in this like realm. If it is, then yeah, I agree with Jenny. I think we got to give her a little wiggle room to you know, or in the proverbial rope to hang herself kind of thing. If she's going to suck, let her suck if she's never done it before. But I'm curious, because I thought the trailer was fascinating with things coming out of the core of the Earth. So it's almost got a almost a science. It's completely science based with a little supernatural involved, or paranormal, I guess you could say. All of that wrapped up would make me go see it. And if the producers are smart, they would take Jenny's advice and maybe treat it such as Alien in Water, maybe kind of skew it towards that. I don't know if it's the same movie house or company that did Alien, but I would kind of skew it towards that. Because it is that kind of – I think it's that kind of movie. But that could be this one could be surprisingly good. I think The Grudge is the horror movie that everyone's going to jump on this first quarter of the year, because it's, you know, it's a requel of a very popular trilogy. But this might be sneaky good.
Yeah.
Might be sneaky good.
Yeah, it could be. It doesn't have a lot of competition in terms of, you know, this adventure fantasy thing. Now, does T.J. Miller make it past the first act before he gets killed, like in – that Transformers movie he was in. Mm. What do you think, Tim? Awesome.
I think not. And I think that people will derive some pleasure from that, if not from the movie itself as a whole. This looks like pure shit, and I am so here for it. I have to admit, I'm going to tell on myself a little bit here. At first, I thought that it starred Justin Bieber. But then I realized that was Kristen Stewart with her.
So, how dare you, sir?
Whoops. Whoops. Hey, you know, she did, what was that? The Panic Room. That was kind of a claustrophobic thriller movie, although a very different Kristen Stewart at the time. Boy, talk about something that was a long time ago now. Man, if the deep sea underwater creature turns out to be a gigantic prehistoric ocean crocodile. There it is again. I will lose my shit. I cannot contain my enthusiasm here. This also kind of reminds me of that movie, The Core. Remember that one?
Yeah.
We're gonna burrow down to the center of the earth and set off nuclear.
Oh, that was horrible. So bad.
But it also had like a cast of semi like name stars and a really doo-doo shit premise. So
why am I thinking Hilary Swank was in that?
Yeah, she was.
Because she was in that.
Oh, she was in that. Jesus.
Yes.
All right.
Aaron Eckhart was in it too.
Oh my God.
Oof. Yeah. So yeah, if we if we're going down that road, then we might really have a new classic on our hands here. I don't know. This one might get me out to the theater. We'll see.
I love it.
I'd like to see that. Also opening on the 10th is My Spy. A hardened CIA operative finds himself at the mercy of a precocious 9-year-old girl, having been sent undercover to surveil her family. It is starring Dave Bautista, Kristen Schaal, Ken Jeong, and Greg Burke. Scott, we'll start with you. How do you think Bautista has fared in Top Liners? Like, you know, Stuber, I believe that's how you pronounce it, didn't do well. So how do you think he'll do in this family-esque comedy?
Well, this is a lot like Cop and a Half or any of those kind of dopey kind of, you know, get-togethers. This does seem like a movie that The Rock may have finally said no to, because he rarely says no to anything. I'm sure it'll be fine. It seems like a pretty cut and dry movie. You know, we're not exactly talking Guardians of the Galaxy, so I think he could. I think he'll be fine. I don't know if, I mean, I probably won't see it, but I'm sure it'll be okay. It'll make a, you know, a decent amount of penny, but I mean, it's a pretty cut and dry, straightforward role that I'm sure he totally won't blow, but time can tell. Maybe he will, but the trailer looks pretty straightforward, but it's not something I'd probably see.
Yeah, it looks like enough time will pass between this and the John Cena precocious child movie where he played a smoke jumper. So, Tim, what do you think of pairing wrestlers with precocious children in movies? Is that a genre that is screaming to be exploited?
I don't know, man. Somebody seems to think so. I don't understand.
It was like that Braun and Nicholas movie where they tag team. Oh wait, that wasn't a movie. Never mind. That was an actual match. Forget it.
That was our living actual nightmare.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a
That's right.
Yeah, you started. Wow. You were an extra.
I was there. Yes. In the background. That could have
been you. Picked out of that crowd.
God, you should have turned on Nicholas the chance you got.
So, I'd like to think that this film takes place in the same cinematic universe as The Pacifier. might have something really... could really build off of something there. And we've got some jokes in the trailer, two of which popped me. One was about steroids, and the other was about killing said child. So maybe this has a little bit of a bite to it. I don't know. It just seems like these studios are a little unsure how much confidence they have in Dave Bautista as a leading man, and I don't know that this is the vehicle that's really going to win anybody over. It's not really doing the movie any favors to be releasing it when they are, but then again, do you really want it to have much in the way of competition? So it's maybe damned if they did, damned if they didn't. But all that is to say, no, I am not in the market for this one.
No, I mean, as much as I adore Kristen Schaal, I think she is awesome. I love her voice. I love her, just her goofiness. This is a pass for me. Jenny, is this something that you may go see on a Saturday afternoon?
Oh, AA, you know I won't.
I know, but I'm going to ask.
I do love Kristen Schaal, too, but it's like they decide that once these wrestlers just decide that they want to be actors, they go, well, you got to do this type of movie, and you have to do this type of movie, and you have to do this type. And so Dave Bautista is on this child line of movies, and so you have to do the child movie, and I don't get it.
That's a first.
Like, Like,
wow.
You've already been in Guardians of the Galaxy. Can you not skip this John Ronald movie? Because you've already got to the nerds. I don't get it. Like, why? Why do you have to do this?
Isn't that a category in Netflix now? Recommended Kyle.
Pretty much. Next. No,
it's just like the live feed I have for my house. That has my called TV.
Okay. All right, okay. That's a pass on that.
You have no idea what the fuck to do at this point.
It's a pass.
So fucking clue. Yep.
Well, I have to say,
I should know what I'm getting myself into by booking you guys by now. So I'm good.
Look, if nothing else, your child has good timing here as we're talking about my spice.
All right, I really don't have a segue. So Tim, we're going to talk about Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, Mark, what are we talking about?
Bad Boys for Life.
Jenny's child is a bad boy for life.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a good segue right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sure. Marcus Burnett is now a police inspector with Mike, and Mike Lowry is in a midlife crisis. They unite again when an Albanian mercenary whose brother they killed promises them an important bonus. Starring Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, Vanessa Hudgens, Alexander Ludwig, and many more. So, Tim, are you a fan of the Bad Boys franchise, first of all?
I guess I was circa 1995.
You mean when it was relevant?
that I am in 2020. So we've got Martin Lawrence doing the I'm too old for this shit routine and very much looking the part as well. Meanwhile, Will Smith is like still this big action star, I guess. And it's, you know, it's kind of that almost feels like it fell out of the Fast family of movies where they're all about guns and fast cars and family. And I didn't see a lot of Corona in this trailer, but perhaps it'll make an appearance in the film proper. It's just, it's one of those, like, why are we doing this type of movies? I'm sure it'll be exactly what it's advertised as. So if there is still an audience for, what is this, the third one, I guess, the third entry in that mm-hmm. series, mm-hmm. Then they'll flock to it. So, okay. We will see how this does, I guess, and whether it is truly the last what the hell is it called Bad Boys for Life. So is this the last installment of that franchise for life? Probably not.
Jenny, did you were you a fan back in however long, 20 years ago when the first ones came out?
Well, who wasn't? I mean, you know, Will Smith,
Michael Bay when he was actually good.
Yeah exactly, like that. That's great, but Martin Lawrence looks fat. Will Smith looks old. You know, you can do the same jokes, and you can have them do the same shit and blow up the same amount of shit, but look, it's just not going to work. Like, I'm sorry. And my white guilt might make me see this movie. I don't know, but... and then... They had a good use of the word penetrate in the trailer, so that's a plus, but it's a rental probably for me.
Right, Scott.
There may be more deserving recipients of your white guilt than
you
Martin
think
Warren.
So. Yeah.
I think they're going to be all right. Yeah. I think they're going to be all right without your patronage if you want to sit this one out.
All right. Scott, what about you?
I can't wait till you come to my desk in 30 days and this show has 875 downloads.
It will not.
I just hope for 8.
Shit. This is fucking garbage. I mean, I think Martin Lawrence is supposed to be fat. Doesn't help the movie any. But has Will Smith really just run out of stuff to ruin? Now he has to ruin franchises that actually didn't suck. I mean, that Gemini Man looked like fucking garbage. And this is no better. There's no need for this. No need for this. This isn't like The Grudge requel
where you're taking something that was really good and not really changing the story per se, just freshening up the coat of paint, almost like The Lion King and another movie that we're going to talk about a little bit later on. This is just taking something that was fine in the 90s and put it in a time where it doesn't fit anymore. And it's just – it's fucking – it's crap. I wouldn't even waste – I have zero guilt of any color to not watch this ever, even as a rental. This is just a waste of time, a waste of time. One thing to for Will Smith to blow an original movie, it's another thing to not – to take something that was actually pretty good for him and wreck it. So no, this is not one. This is going to be, if we did a winter contest, this is bomb all the way. This is bomb all the way.
That'd be extremely hard to predict.
Yeah.
Top 10. Yeah. I mean, Joe Pantoliano is in it playing the captain. If they could just do like a supercut on YouTube of his scenes, I'd be good with that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So the next movie we're going to chat about is Doolittle, coming out on the 17th, probably going to kick the crap out of Bad Boys for Life. And basically, excuse me, a physician discovers that he could talk to animals. Very simple. Starring Robert Downey Jr., Kumail Nanjiani, Tom Holland, Emma Thompson, Rami Malek, Michael Sheen, Ralph Fiennes, Marion Cotillard, Antonio Banderas. John Cena is actually in this. Selena Gomez, Octavia Spencer, Jim Broadbent. And most of those are going to be voice casts. Now, Jenny, we know you love RDJ. Are you going to be there opening weekend?
Hopefully so. My notes say, RDJ, enough said. Yes, please. I don't care. So I had a lot of people, their reaction to this trailer when they saw the animals talking was like, I don't like this with the animals talking. I'm like, yeah, but it's Robert Downey Jr. and he basically looks like Sherlock Holmes and he talks to animals and they're CGI. It's going to be fine. Like, don't worry. Like, he's going to make this fun. Don't worry. I get it if not a lot of people want to see this, but there's enough of a fan base for him that I feel like he's going to be fine. I hope to be one of those people to see this one. I don't want to wait on this one. Because I think it's a little bit of a hidden gem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, he made a fuck ton of money, as you like to call it, from them being Tony Stark, a.k.a. Iron Man. So, yeah, he could pick and choose and do whatever he wants. And it does look fine. It looks way better than the Eddie Murphy Doolittles. Yes. This actually is trying to – we'll get there. It is trying to stay – true to the source material, not take it and place it in a contemporary setting, which I've always, since I was a little kid, been a fan of the Dr. Doolittle story. Scott, what did you think when you saw this trailer?
Oh, I'm 100% in on this, just like Jenny is. I love RDJ. I liked RDJ pre-Tony Stark. Mm-hmm. There's not much he doesn't look good in. I shouldn't say there's nothing bad because he's been in some bad movies that he's not bad in, if I may clarify that. He's never been bad in a bad movie. He's always been good in a bad movie. This is not going to be bad. As much as I love Eddie Murphy more than life itself, in some cases.
You love Eddie Murphy more than life itself.
In some cases,
you just said.
In some cases, I love Eddie Murphy.
That makes no sense.
Why? It's Eddie Murphy.
In some cases.
Wow. Those Doolittles were fucking terrible. Because I felt like it was the what is it the what was he the, well that was Doolittle I guess. This is different. I think RDJ likes to do these almost period type pieces. He was awesome in both Sherlock Holmes. I think you're going to see him do a lot of these. I think you're going to see him do more biopics. I think that's what his bread and butter is going to be. I don't think you'll see him do any ha-ha comedies. I think he's going to do stuff like this. But Yeah, I'm all in on this too. This is going to be exceptional. I almost think, and this is, I don't know if this is a hot take per se, I think Marvel alumni are going to do better in their movies than the actual continuing Marvel movies might, depending on the movie. I'll say that when we get to the spring, but when we get to the spring preview. But this is going to be outstanding. This is going to make a ton of money, and RDJ is going to hit another one out of the park.
All right. Big time. Tim, what do you think of the talking animals here with RDJ?
Well, I think that the fact that they recast Eddie Murphy 20 years later with Robert Downey Jr., who I love, gives me white guilt.
Do you love more than life itself, though?
Oh, Jesus.
No, but this film also... Wait, does it actually start Tom Holland or just the voice of Tom Holland?
The voice of Tom Holland.
Yes, he plays Jet.
All right, so... Great. No opportunity then to see Tom Holland's Siobhan's. Am I even saying that right?
No, you're not. But
I just really wanted to say that on a podcast, even incorrectly. Anyway, no, I don't care about this movie. I as much as I do enjoy RDJ, that's a pass.
There are three movies in a 3 or 4 month span where Tom Holland does a voice. Spies in Disguise, this one, and another one we'll talk about later. And my 17-year-old daughter, who has the hugest crush on Tom Holland, is dragging me to all of them, whether I want to go or not.
So, she should be just as pissed as I am.
Yes, that you don't get to see him. Mm-hmm. Trust me.
No Schwan.
I'll tell you, she was very excited. Also, when Nick Jonas finally showed up in Jumanji, the sequel, the one that just came out.
Mm.
After being only mere feet away at the Jonas Brothers concert. So, anyway, moving on to coming out on the 24th, The Gentleman, a very British drug lord, tries to sell off his highly profitable empire to a dynasty of Oklahoma billionaires. This is directed by Guy Ritchie and starring Matthew McConaughey, Charlie Hunnam, Michelle Dockery, Jeremy Strong, Colin Farrell, who else is it? Hugh Grant, what's the other guy that's coming? That's Henry Golding, who's like the new hot thing. Tim, now I knew nothing about this movie, but when I saw the trailer, I was sold because it looks like Guy Ritchie doing really what Guy Ritchie does best.
Yeah, looks like a Guy Ritchie crime movie, madcap crime movie at that, which, he's kind of good at. So if this is in that same vein, then I think it's going to be hard to go wrong. We're also experiencing somewhat of a McConaughey-sance. That one doesn't quite roll off the tongue. Where just his recent pictures have been pretty darn good, and he's been good in them. So you certainly see a pretty strong presence from him in the trailers for this. So yeah, this could be a bit of a sleeper. I'm sneakily looking forward to it.
All right. Jenny, what about you for The Gentleman?
No, this looks like a lot of fun, like the mobster version of Knives Out, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe not as clever as that, but it looks like a lot of fun, a hot cast. If I can get to the theater, I might be looking at this movie. It's kind of, I think it's a sleeper in this season for sure.
Yeah, it looks to be a lot of fun. Scott, what did you think of the trailer?
I liked it. I like Guy Ritchie stuff. Obviously, he did Sherlock Holmes. Matthew McConaughey, I can go either way, but I think he was pretty good in the trailer. And I like Charlie Hunnam, going back to Jack's on Sons. But, yeah, I would probably hop on this one. Another one of those, like maybe a matinee or something. But it does look sneaky good. It could be one that that sneaks up on people and is pretty entertaining. It does have that. I think you're right. It does have that Knives Out ensemble-ish kind of feel where everybody gets kind of equal camera time and takes advantage of it, like almost everybody in Knives Out did. So I'm looking forward to seeing where this one goes. But it does have that kind of dark comedy heisty feel to it that could work. for a Guy Ritchie movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I quite enjoyed it. So coming out on February 7th, let me take a breath first. Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. After splitting with the Joker, Harley Quinn joins superheroes Black Canary, Huntress, and Renee Montoya to save a young girl from an evil crime lord. This stars Margot Robbie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Ewan McGregor, Ali Wong, Rosie Perez, amongst others. Tim, are you a fan of the Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad?
No. In theory, I am a fan of the character, but I am just so sick of Harley Quinn. It's really been sort of, I mean, not that she's appeared in a ton of movies or anything, but it's just kind of been media immersion overload with that character. And I'm just kind of exhausted. As far as this title, Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn, it sounds like they were going for something meant to be smart, ironic, and funny, but I think it landed more in the ballpark of Mariah Carey's 2014 album, I believe, titled Me, I Am Mariah, The Elusive Chanteuse. And that's pretty much the extent of my feeling on this. It might be, I mean, it doesn't look bad. I'm tired of it. I'm tired. I'm telling you. So it's got to be better than Suicide Squad at the least, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can only go up from there.
Yes, we can. Scott, what do you think of this movie trailer?
I thought it was pretty good. DC now kind of has an opening. Now that it's not getting comparisons to anything from the Infinity Saga and getting its ass kicked consistently. Now any Marvel movie, at least perception-wise, post-Endgame will now kind of be at an even playing field. So I think this will be pretty good. I think it gives all of them an opportunity to try and shine you know, the cast is pretty solid, so I'm looking forward to it. I think, again, DC and Warner Brothers is going to try and crawl themselves back into the movie race after, again, Marvel consistently beat the shit out of it. Now that Marvel kind of shot all its bullets and is back to kind of, I don't want to say square one, but now they're going to fill holes like Star Wars is probably going to. DC might have a chance to maybe, you know, close the gap a bit, which is what we want to see because in the end we win. It's like wrestling promotions, movie franchises that are competing are the same thing. Only we win as movie viewers. So we want good movies from DC. So I'm going to be optimistic. I think it'll be pretty good.
All right. Jenny, what do you think of this one?
You know, it's interesting coming off of The Joker, which I realize is supposed to be a one-off and not really related to this universe, I suppose. But yeah, but also kind of kicked ass in every fucking respect. Made so much money. Gonna get some Oscar buzz. So it's weird going from that movie, which you're kind of separating from your universe, to this Harley movie, which is in your universe. DC is just a fucking mess. They have no idea what they're doing. Like, it's kind of funny at this point. Like, it's sad, but it's funny. Because I don't think that anybody expected that level of success from Joker. So then maybe this Harley Quinn movie feels a little bit dumb in the wake of that. Am I wrong?
Okay, wait. There is not an actual... Joker is not a character in this movie coming out, right?
No, but you put Joker and Harley Quinn together, like a casual fan, they're going to put those two people together.
He's being heavily referenced, and the movie is capitalizing on this relationship.
Right. But when you do a Joker origin story that's separate from the rest of your universe, and then it's a ginormous hit. It's like, oh shit, what do we do now? Because we have this Harley Quinn fuck you Joker movie, and the title is too much. It's fucking awful. It makes it seem too girl power-y, which annoys me quite a bit. But I do like Margot Robbie. I do like her twist on Harley. I don't know that I will go see this, though. It's just... I don't even know what I'm doing with you, DC. I hope it does well. I'll just say that. I hope it does well. I hope that people go and see it. I probably will not be one of those people. Sorry.
All right, well, we're going to take a break and continue on with talking about the winter and spring releases. So we got a lot of fun movies to talk about when we come back. So stick around. Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, Scott Criscolla with me, Andy Atten. We'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to the winter slash spring movie preview. I am Andy Atten, hanging out here with Tim Capel, Jennifer Smith, and Scott Criscolla. We're going to get back to previewing more of the fun movies coming up. But first, let's talk about what's going on here at Place to Be Nation. Pop! On the hard-traveling fanboys, they continued Wing It Month as Nick and Greg count down their favorite settings of all time in all of comics. This Week in the NFL hits weekly as Roger and Johnny recap the last set of games and preview the upcoming weekend's batch. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On the latest episode, they take a break from the coverage of The Office to discuss Merry Christmas, Mr. Bean. On their newest Diamond Conversations, the 9th episode features a chat with Ben Smith of Midwest Box Breaks, a sports trading, cards, and box case breaks business. Keep a lookout for a promo code for Midwest Box Breaks inside the episode as a thank you for listening to Place to Be Nation. On the Christmas episode of one of my shows, Laugh in Theater, I was joined by one of the HTFs, Nick Duke, and we did a live watch of Bad Santa. Actually, it was the first time I saw the movie, so I have not seen the movie with the audio on. I've only seen it with closed captioning, so I look forward to rewatching again. On the latest Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Glenn and Scott continue Star Wars Month on PT Man Pop with a whirlwind tour of the musical landscapes of the franchise outings of the first two trilogies of Star Wars. On the newest episode of Year in Pop, Scott, you and I, and the Doctor and Mr. D'Amato, we discussed all the new sports, TV, music, and movies of 1979. A lot of fun episode, right?
Oh, it was tremendous. Getting a lot of clicks. I'm glad everyone's enjoying it. Looking forward to a new decade when we dive into our next episode.
Yes, we're getting towards the middle age cast. We're not going to be the old cast much longer. On the network special, PTBN Holiday Extravaganza, I got together with all the show hosts, including the three fine people that are here with me tonight, as we talked about everybody's favorite holiday movies, what you look forward to most about this time of the year, and what is one tradition they do every holiday season. I want to thank everybody who joined me on that episode, and I want to thank everybody who listens. It was a lot of work. It was a passion project, and it was a Christmas card that I put together for all of Place of the Nation, just to say thank you to everybody, and everybody had a tremendous year, and I hope everybody has a great 2020. So don't forget to check out the PTBN Wrestling feed, which includes a dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE through yesteryear. The feed includes the Place to Be podcast, the Mothership, Main Event, Wrestling War Zone, Extreme Three-Way Dance, Jenny and the Gems, Body Pressure Luck, Talking WCW, and so much more. Subscribe today. And while you're at it, she's here, Jennifer Smith, the Jenny Position feed as well. Subscribe to that one. It is the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talking Bop, Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and much more. Don't forget to go to our social media pages. The Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament now underway. We're in the first round, four matches per day. Make sure you like our tournament page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter so you won't miss a single one. What do you guys think of the tournament so far? We are currently in the coffee shop region. Any big surprises? Anything you're looking forward to seeing coming up?
I think the matches have been pretty solid. I was a little disappointed that Silver Spoons lost. That would probably be my only, disappointment. But it seems like it's been chalk so far, mm-hmm. And I think we're going to see a lot of chalk in this first, these first round matchups. I think as early as the second round, I think we're going to really see people having to scratch their heads because I think the matchups are going to be much, much tougher.
Mm-hmm. I know Cowboy Senior is banging the drum for Sledgehammer.
For Sledgehammer, yeah. But it's getting killed right now.
Yeah, by the Wonder Years.
Sorry, what? Cowboy. That's probably not going to work out in your favor.
No.
Now, what region is My Two Dads in?
I
don't like past tense there.
Yeah.
Damn it.
It was I believe it was in the coffee shop region. It was knocked out by Coach.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tim.
That happened on Saturday. The polls closed.
That happened.
Yeah.
All right. Nah. All right. What about That's My Mama? Still pulling for that one, too.
that will be in the sitcom NIT. But while
I'm sorry, in the mama region, it's Mama's Family.
Yeah, the Mama's
Family, of course. Yeah, all day.
Twice on Sunday. We're here, let's go over some matchups. These are going to go up on Christmas Eve, so obviously you're going to be listening to us these matchups be closed, but we're going to give our personal picks. So coffee shop region, number 10, Different Strokes versus number 55, Amen. This is a landslide for Different Strokes, right?
Amen's such a good show, but yeah, I wouldn't vote against Different Strokes. No way.
Mm-hmm. And we got Peter Winson's personal pick, number 23, Mr. Belvedere, going up against Fraggle Rock at 42.
Ooh. What? Oh.
Poor Peter. Sorry.
You think Fraggle Rock's going to pull the upset?
For sure.
Okay.
There's no very special episode of Fraggle Rock, though, which I think is...
Yeah,
I'm kind of wondering how Fraggle Rock made it into the tournament, but that's fine. I won't question the judge. Is it a sitcom, really? I mean, isn't it just a... I mean, it's just a kid's show, right?
Seems like that's where my mama could have gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, we consider it a sitcom because it was a half-hour comedy, even though it had Muppets, and it may be for kids, but there were some things adults could enjoy about the show. I mean,
I don't remember it that well, so I was like sort of questioning my memory of it, I guess. But poor Mr. Belvedere. That's a pretty lopsided match there.
Okay. Number 26, Perfect Strangers, taking on number 39, Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Oh, that's a Rotella matchup right there. That's right. You could tell. Yeah, that's two. Yeah, that's Rotella all the way. I think Perfect Strangers probably wins that.
Yes,
probably. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think Hanging with Mr. Cooper was too late stage TGIF for me. That was a TGIF show, mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I don't have many memories of that at all.
And at number 7, Married with Children, taking a number 59, Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
Well, I think Married with Children wins in a landslide. Yeah, you know, Parker Lewis Can't Lose wasn't a bad show, but Married with Children's going to
great. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So, yeah. So, check that out. The tournament every day, 4 matchups. The tournament's going through the first round. We're going fairly quickly. We're actually almost done with the coffee shop region. We'll be starting the Central Perk region before soon, and then on to the Dunler-Mifflin region, and then everything's going to really get interesting after that. So, check it out. Don't forget, check out PlaceBeNation.com. Each and every day, we have new voices, fresh takes, bringing articles and topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including Trent's SmackDown Fox Report, This Week in the WWE by John Crow, Paulie's Perspective, Jason's DVD Deep Dive, Ben's Unpopular Opinion, and our veteran columns like Glenn Butler's Weekly Walk Around the Web. If you're doing online shopping over Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Placement Nation homepage or use the website address, placementnation.com/Amazon. It takes you right to the Amazon homepage and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. Finally, we're in the late days, only about a little week or so to go as of this recording. You have to get your ballots in for the GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Visit the social media page. Ballots are open. Final ballots are due on 12/31/19. So, you guys got your ballots ready? You're getting them all in?
Mm. I'll be doing that next week. Well, end of this week.
Is that harder than your self-assessment?
Clearly less entertaining than
yes.
self-assessment.
Yes, but this one is a labor of love. This
I want Tim to. I actually want Tim to put the self-assessment in instead of his ballot, and I think more people would enjoy it. But yeah, I got about 25 matches to go to complete mine. It's tough, tougher than both the singles and tag teams for me. This is definitely the toughest to put together.
I didn't think I was going to do a ballot, to be honest with you, just because I'm so bad at these types of things, but I don't know. I found myself getting kind of into it and just having fun with the group, watching matches, evaluating, and just comparing notes. So I don't know. I'll take the plunge.
And I'll definitely tell the listeners that without tipping our hands, we are already discussing what the 2020 ballot theme will be. So there's already some ideas in the works. So stay tuned when we get into the new decade as to what this coming year's ballot theme will be. So already
WCW.
I will enjoy, and you guys read off the results because that's as far as I'm going. Because as soon as you announced it, I said, nope, ain't me. So
same. I agree. I'll see you, Andy. Yes. I appreciate you, Andy.
I got your back, Jenny. Mm-hmm. Me and you, we're going to be watching from the side. So, back to movies, though. That's what we're here to talk about. On February 14th, Sonic the Hedgehog, a cop in the rural town of Green Hills, will help Sonic escape from the government who is looking to capture him. That stars Jim Carrey, James Marsden, Neil McDonough, Tika Sumpter. All right, Tim, we're going to start with you. Sonic the Hedgehog, fan of the video game?
Sort of. I mean, going back to the early 90s when it was like that first big launch game, you know, with Genesis, mm-hmm. you're pretty into it. And I have to say, it's been a bit of a revelation to me in the past couple of years what a frenzied fandom there is for Sonic the Hedgehog. I did not know that such an enthusiastic community around this character and this world existed. I do have some questions. I don't want to cast aspersions. Don't want to judge anyone, but it is a somewhat unique fan community as fan communities go. I understand perhaps there are some intersections with another community, that being the furry community, which doesn't always have a sexual connotation,
as I am
given to understand. What are we doing? mm-hmm. This movie is coming out this year. I think it was supposed to come out in 2019, and people were not thrilled with the initial animations and preview, which has been, I guess, pretty much disavowed now. Where Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah, he looked he looked kind. It was sort of taken aback to Eddie Murphy. You know, he returned to host the premiere of SNL. They did the skit, the Holiday Baking Championship, where he baked a cake inspired by and in the image of Sonic the Hedgehog, which was a giant brown lump of shit, basically. And that original Sonic was a giant blue lump of shit. It just it had teeth. It was sort of scraggly. It was rather unsettling. And apparently, although I'm not really, I can't count myself among them, the fan community for Sonic the Hedgehog is much, much happier with this redesign that has taken place. Do you think it's a bit cynical of the studio to basically pat themselves on the back and take this big victory lap here, saying we did it for the fans, when really they kind of just made their animators eat shit and, you know, work overtime to get this fixed in some form or fashion? But that is what it is. I hope that this fan community is pleased with the finished result now, because I don't know what will happen if they're not. They frighten me a little bit, I'm going to be honest.
So, we're here for you, Tim.
Here we go.
All right.
That's Sonic.
Yeah, so, Scott, so Sonic the Hedgehog, we were about college age, because I remember playing it quite a bit freshman, sophomore year. And it was huge. I mean, and Sonic has managed to survive basically when Sega stopped, got out of the console business, and kind of just said, you know what, all right, we're the second banana, second fiddle to Mario, and we're going to be okay with that. We're going to partner up in games, and that's really, I think, how Sonic has survived all these years. Do you think Jim Carrey, being Dr. Robotnik, I believe the character's name is, do you think he can save this movie?
It's fat erasure. I hate it.
I mean, before we another question that I think needs to be asked is, I mean, what is the batting average of video game movies?
Not very high.
Like 100? Anything Super Mario related was bad. Mm-hmm. How many Resident Evils were there? 6?
Those weren't
Those were 500. Some were good, some weren't. Mm-hmm.
The first Mortal Kombat movie I actually enjoyed.
The first one was good. Everything after that was garbage.
There's a really good looking good one in development right now. It should be coming out another year or so.
Right.
Street Fighter 2 was a piece. Street Fighter, whatever. With, unfortunately, that was Royal Julia's final movie.
Yeah, that was garbage.
That was dog shit.
That Final Fantasy, how whatever the fuck you. That was supposed to be. then that Final Fantasy, whatever the fuck that was in the late 90s, that was garbage.
Doom with the Rock.
And Doom with the Rock. Oh, Doom's such a good movie. Such a good game, not a terrible movie. Good game.
Silent Hill
history. Yeah, right. I guess so. Yeah. But the jury's probably out. I think we'll have to wait and see the returns early before anybody gets too cynical about it. I mean, I'd like to be positive. I loved Sonic, loved the game, always did. Play the shit out of it, because it was part of when I got my second Genesis, that was the free game in it, the first one. Or second one, whatever it was. I think it was the second one. I think it'll do okay. But video game movies just – there's too much expectation. Because video games, the story is all based on you playing it. So you could go in a myriad of directions. Me as a Mass Effect fan, those games and those stories could go in endless directions. Sadly, when you try to watch something that's linear, you kind of lose the specialness of it. So I think people may go out of the curiosity of Jim Carrey, but – other than that, if that, I think people will wait until they see some reviews and see some reaction. And if he's not carrying it as well as it needs to be carried, I could see this thing circling the bowl as bad as what do you call it? The one that we were talking about earlier that could be a total bomb. Bad Boys. I mean, it could go down the Bad Boys for Life path of bomb of the winter. But I think that I think people are going to give it the benefit of the doubt, at least maybe through the first week. And then I think we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's you got Winter Breaks, and there's really not a lot of animation coming out or suffer kids for that time. So it could do okay opening weekend. It's that second weekend that's really going to determine if
exactly.
This has legs. Jenny, you think this is something that your son would want to see?
Unfortunately, yes. he's been pretty obsessed with this whole Sonic deal and them redesigning Sonic after all of the bad press after the first trailer. I laughed earlier because my first note is, what are we doing? And Tim literally said, what are we doing?
So see, that pumped me. That's why you guys are kindred spirits on the Talking Pop. Come on.
Fantastic. Look, but, all I'm going to say is, hashtag release the shitty cut. Needs to happen.
I will give them credit for using Gangster's Paradise in the trailer. Bold, considering it's the whitest movie I've ever seen, besides the blue fur on Sonic. James Marsden, he has a history of making some
quality films.
Yeah, those. And some, like, I'm thinking of Hop, which is like a Easter movie that I happen to enjoy, but it's with him and a CGI bunny, and he's very good in that. So that's a little bit of a plus, but then you throw in the Jim Carrey factor, and that's when I'm like, because I don't see Jim Carrey wanting to play second fiddle to an animated hedgehog. So nor should he, frankly, but I just can't see those things working in combination with each other, if that makes sense. But my ass will probably be there.
Okay. All right. Also coming out that weekend is Fantasy Island, a horror adaptation of the popular 70s TV show about a magical island resort. This stars Maggie Q, Michael Pena, Portia Doubleday, Kim Coates, and Lucy Hale. Scott, what did you think of this trailer?
It sucked. This is fucking stupid. This is not Fantasy Island. All right, why do we need a horror adaptation of Fantasy Island? It is not the TV adaptation. It's a horror movie called Fantasy Island. Taking the concept and changing the tone is not an adaptation of the show. It's a completely different thing. We want midgets and roach Corinthian leather. That's what we want. We don't want, horror and death and blood and guts. Not for this movie. I was hoping we'd have and I like Michael Pena, but I was hoping for something similar to the show, not taking the show and then Rob Zombieing it, which is, I feel like, is what in essence is being done here. So I will not be seeing this at all. No way.
Jenny, no way. What about you?
So I think this is sort of interesting because it's a Blumhouse film, mm-hmm. and it looks sort of like Blumhouse's take on Firefest.
Jesus.
A little bit, because you have these rich people and you put them in this like tropical setting or whatever, and then all of their fantasies get to come true. So that's not horrible. I mean, calling it Fantasy Island is a little bit like presumptuous, but if they maybe called it something else and didn't call it this, it might go over a little bit better. But I do like the idea of a horror film based on your fantasies. Mm-hmm. So it just got me wondering, like, some of my friends, what would their fantasies be if they were on this island and they could make anything come true? You know, there's a lot of things that could go down on that line of thinking. But also, I probably won't see it, but I get it. I kind of get what they're trying to do. Yeah, it's fine.
Tim, do you see anything of interest in this trailer?
I mean, like Scott, I kind of struggle to understand who this is for. I don't think that people who are interested in the type of horror vibe that this is apparently going for are going to be drawn to the Fantasy Island title. And I don't think fans of Fantasy Island, which was this, you know, kind of charming, fondly remembered series, are going to want to show up for, again, this sort of blood and guts horror movie. So I question the marketing a bit. As far as the content itself, maybe there's something there. Sort of, I don't know. I don't think this comparison is going to make any sense, but for some reason I was thinking, remember the 13 Ghosts remake from like 2001?
With Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah, with Tony Shalhoub, among others.
Matthew Lillard.
I don't know why, but it was sort of giving me that sort of feel, but probably more violent. But yeah, the premise is a little bit wonky. Like, are we doing holograms? Are we really conjuring spirits and dead children? I don't know. I think I will sit this one out and wait for the reviews to probably make a determination on it.
So coming out on the 21st of February is Call of the Wild, a sled dog struggles for survival in the Alaskan wild, starring Karen Gilliam, Kara G, Harrison Ford, Dan Stevens. It's based on the novel. Scott, now, what did you think of this one?
I'm definitely going to see this. I love the book. It's Harrison Ford, so that's already a hook for me. And it's Karen Gillan, which is also a hook for me. So you could definitely count me in on this. I thought the trailer was really good. Yeah, just everything about it is really solid. I feel like it's just a little bit I watched. I feel like it's gonna be truthful to the book. I might have to hop on and read that again. It's been a long time. I read it in high school. It definitely is. I think something that's a good one for Harrison Ford now that he's out of almost all of his franchises now. So I'm looking forward to this one. I think it's a good twist for Karen Gillan out of the two Jumanjis. I think it's, I thought the tone was good. It was, I think it's a good family movie. So I'm definitely going to go in on that one. Right. I think it's gonna be pretty good.
Tim, did you think this trailer looked pretty good?
Well, the first line of the trailer spoken by Harrison Ford was, "I came up here because I didn't want to be around anyone." And that sounds pretty on brand for 2020 Harrison Ford. I think that works for him. It's Harrison Ford doing a dog movie. The dog to me looks super fake in the trailer. Like, they've got some severe CGI situation going on there. And I feel like if you're going to do that, then you have to go all the way. And the book be damned, you better make that dog talk if we're already just having CGI dog action here. Just make the damn dog talk. It's fine. I guess they're going to try to be sort of faithful to the book, which if I did read, I really don't remember reading. It's conceivable that I did. But, yeah, looks like it'll slot in nicely for that family film, which is the one thing that's sort of been lacking in this lineup that we've taken a look at. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I hope it does well enough.
Okay. Jenny, what about you? Do you think you'll go see this one?
Probably not. I do enjoy this book. I remember reading it. I think it's kind of weird for Harrison Ford to be doing this sort of like family film kind of thing, because it feels like he's just like done with everything. Like he's over everything. Why is he doing any more movies? I love him, but like, just, I don't know. It is a dog movie.
why is he doing a dog movie?
Why is dog he doing movie. A dog movie? I mean, I'm he's coming saying, off like, of Star Wars, so like, fake why? Dog movie but
fake,
dog. Fake dog. Yeah, you're right. The dog did look pretty fake, but the rest of it looked pretty good as far as like the cinematography. It looked like a pretty movie. Like you could like be in all of the Alaskan wilderness in this movie. Probably not for me, but if they can stick to the book, they'll probably have a good adaptation on their hands.
Right. You know what I realized? I've been thinking of White Fang. The other dog in the Alaskan snow movie, right?
Wow.
So, yeah, I
Yeah.
Well, okay.
At least you weren't thinking Lady and the Tramp.
No.
Another fake dog. Because you were going talking dogs. I was like, is that where Tim's going?
You know, I thought I read Call of the Wild, but it was actually Lady and the Tramp. You know?
Talking dogs. A new talking podcast.
At the end of the trailer, though, when Harrison Ford looks down at the dog, I could have sworn the dog. You're right, though. I was about to say,
he was going to say something, right?
Say, like, fuck off or something to him. And I'm like, oh, no, right.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is not in this one. It's Snow Dogs.
Yeah.
Snow Dogs.
With Cisco. Yeah.
No, I legitimately was thinking of White Fang. That's how stupid I am with these dog movies in the snow.
Air right. Bud.
All right. So also coming out on the 21st is Bloodshot. Ray Garrison, a slain soldier, is reanimated with superpowers. This is starring Vin Diesel, Elza Gonzalez, Toby Cabell, Sam Heughan. Tim, what did you think of this one?
So I didn't realize it right away, but this is a comic book movie based on a comic that I think to say hit comic as the trailer does is a bit of a stretch. it's not based on a Marvel or DC property or Image, quite frankly. It's from Valiant Comics. So people who aren't familiar with Valiant Comics, that was sort of the early 90s alternative to Image, where Image was very Image focused. It was emphasizing its hot artist of the decade, and Valiant said, you know what? We're going to emphasize actual writing. We're going to have the best writers, the best stories, and passable art. Didn't make a huge cultural impact, as you might have guessed. And this one, I mean, I don't have any personal familiarity with the property, but it seems like it's not being well received by the folks who do the character design. I mean, it's basically just Vin Diesel doing a very Vin Diesel looking character, right? And as I understand it, the character in the comics, he's like all white. He's got this red circle on his chest, you know, a very distinctive look, red eyes. And maybe they'll do that at some point in this film, but certainly we didn't see any of that in the trailer, which is saying a lot because the trailer seemed to be one of those trailers that gave you like the whole movie in a condensed 2-minute form. So I don't know. Story seems kind of interesting. Felt a little bit RoboCop in some places. I don't know. I kind of like Vin Diesel, just his approach to all of the projects he takes, because he seems to take them very seriously. Like the most ridiculous stuff, like Chronicles of Riddick and the Fast series. Like he's sort of a super nerd for these things and puts way more thought into them than I think anyone would imagine from seeing the finished product. But I don't know. I kind of like his enthusiasm for it, and maybe I do have a bit of a soft spot for him. I don't know. If this sounds like it's anything worth seeing, I'll probably check it out. Just because it does look a bit different. So, and that's my comics guilt speaking. Also, I have to, you know, support the hobby.
Okay. So, yeah. Jenny, what'd you think of this one?
Well, I think if Vin Diesel was looking for a comic book vehicle, it's good that he picked something that nobody gives a fuck about, because he is Vin Diesel and nobody gives a fuck. So, like,
okay, that's,
I mean, I'm just like, what? You're Vin Diesel. Like, why would you try to be any other superhero than some nonsense from Valiant that nobody's heard about? Like, nobody cares. And it looks cookie cutter, like murdered wife, unfinished business, both the things that they say in the trailer for the movie. So it's like Punisher, the lame version. I don't know. I don't give a fuck. And I don't think anybody's going to watch this. And I think it's going to bomb.
All right. Scott, you
see that? I think it's going to bomb too. I think it might be decent. Possibly.
I'm saving us time by echoing every single thing Jenny just said. It looks like shit.
Yep.
It looks like shit. Next.
Doo-doo shit.
Sorry, Tim. You can let us know. Looks like, yeah, indie comic doo-doo shit. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Smile.
Yeah. All right. On the 28th of February, coming out is The Invisible Man. When Cecilia's abusive ex takes his own life and leaves her fortune, she suspects his death was a hoax. As a series of coincidences turn lethal, Celia works to prove that she's being hunted by somebody nobody can see. Starring Elizabeth Moss, Aldis Hodge, Storm Reid, Oliver Jackson Cohen. Scott, what did you think of this? This is not your same old Invisible Man like you talked about on Pop Goes the Classics. This is a interesting spin on the character.
Yeah, this was probably going to be like attempt like 30 for Universal to try to restart the Universal Monsters verse that I did go over the original one on Pop Goes the Classics. I'm excited for this because I got to be honest, rewatching all of them when I did in September and October, the original Invisible Man with Claude Rains, which is very good. Didn't have that horror feel. It had a thriller feel. So as good as it was, I really wouldn't call it a horror movie in the general sense of the word. However, when I watch this definitely has a horror feel. And I think if you go back in time to the 1930s, 1935 or 36, whenever they did The Invisible Man, Carl Laemmle and those at Universal would have loved to have had it come out the way this could have, but I believe has come out as. So I'm excited for it. I'll definitely see it. I like Elizabeth Moss. So I think this will be pretty good. It definitely feels more sinister. Like Claude Rains' character in the original was crazy, but not necessarily dangerous per se or evil. Whereas based on the trailer, this Invisible Man is clearly malevolent. So I'm definitely looking forward to this one and the way it, at least the way it's been presented.
All right. Yeah. Tim, did you get a Hollow Man vibe from this? Or, I mean,
what I was about to say, I was trying to remember the name of that.
I kind of did, but not as cheesy. I'm sorry. Right. I was thinking that myself, but go ahead, Tim. I just wanted to back that point up.
Yeah, no, it was, I guess that was sort of the last attempt at an Invisible Man sci-fi horror type of vehicle. This, yeah, looks more straight up horror. Interesting high concept in that I guess her husband is faking his death and leaves her all this money, but in order to claim the money, she must prove that she is not in some form mentally incapacitated, which he is going to drive her to because he has, I guess, become the titular, brustular, invisible man. Wow. that's a lot. And this is Elizabeth Moss, who is outstanding, and I'm looking forward to seeing lots of dramatic close-ups of her in something other than The Handmaid's Tale, which is a show that made a breathtaking dive in quality from its first to third season. In some ways unprecedented. So I hope this is much better than that. And I hope she goes on to do many, many more impressive things because she deserves it. And yeah, this looks interesting, if not altogether great, but I don't know. It's sort of got my interest.
Jenny, this pique your interest as well?
It does, for sure. She does deserve it. She's fantastic. I've loved her since Mad Men. It has sort of a Black Mirror sort of Get Lost. Get Out sort of style. It's sort of trippy. Like, you don't know if she's crazy or if this is really happening to her. I think the trailer was very effective. And I am definitely looking forward to watching this in the theater.
Okay, great. Mm. Now, coming out on the 28th also is Bad Trip. Two friends embark on a cross-country road trip where they prank people using hidden cameras. The stars Tiffany Haddish, Eric Andre, Lil Ray Howery. Now, Tim, when I watched the trailer for this, I had no idea what the hell I was watching. I'm like, is this real? Is this Jackass? I mean, is this Borat-esque? Like what exactly am I watching? Because I'm actually a fan. I think Eric Andre is hysterical. Lil Ray Howery, he stole what the hell is that movie? The one with the horror movie with crap. The one where they take the brains and put it in other people's heads.
Pro Ball Cheerleaders.
No.
Yes.
No, the Jordan Peele movie.
Do it.
I'm trying to remember. Now I'm blanking.
You talk about Get Out?
Yes, he stole Get Out. He was the guy in the chair in that movie. And we talked about Tiffany Haddish already, how funny he is. Now, what did you think of this trailer? I don't understand what's happening.
All right. Well, before I watched the trailer, on the basis of the title and the fact that it starred Tiffany Haddish, I thought it was going to be a sequel to Girls Trip. It was now called Bad Trip because who knows?
The Tripperverse?
Yeah. So I was a little bit thrown. I was like, is this a mockumentary type thing? But apparently the pranks and the stunts are real, and maybe they're crafting like some kind of narrative or story around them. I'm not really sure, but allegedly the pranks are quite real. So I think it is like a Borat type of treatment. Don't know that I'll be paying money to see this in the theater. I'm kind of perplexed as to why it's getting a theatrical release. I don't know. It the marketing is weird. I don't think we're alone in not really being sure what to do with it. It just seems like the type of thing you can make on a shoestring budget. Maybe Tiffany Haddish doesn't come that cheap, but it's not got this huge, you know, robust cast or anything. So like, it just seems like, yeah, put it together, have it find a life on VOD. You know, I don't get it. Maybe I'm totally just not in the right market for this. But yeah, it's a little bit perplexing to me.
Jenny, did you understand what the hell is going on when you saw the trailer?
Okay, so this is a prank show trailer, and I don't think those are three words that should be put together in a sentence, because no one will see this. Even stoners like myself will, like, watch this, like, when it's on, like, basic cable in the middle of the night 3 years from now. I don't get it. Like, why is this a thing? Eric Andre has somewhat of a following, mostly because he gets naked and shows his dick off on Instagram and other social. Yeah. So I assume it's impressive for that reason, but unless he's just going to do full frontal the entire time, this is probably going to be a miss.
Okay. Scott, what did you think?
Need more prick shaft. Apparently, but no, this is it's pretty much Jackass, just lower rent.
Yep.
I agree with Jenny. I think you got to be pretty shit faced to watch this, and it'll probably be very entertaining in that way. But yeah, no, I'm not paying money to see this. Absolutely not.
Right.
No offense to Tiffany.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. It doesn't look bad. It's just, why is this a movie?
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
Like, getting a wide.
It's a skit. It's skits. It's skits.
Yeah. Why is this on like Netflix or something?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is this
Netflix,
definitely has Netflix
for
all
sure.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
All right. And now in March on the 6th, we have the first Pixar release of the year. We actually have, I believe, two coming out, and one we'll talk about on a future show. We have Onward, set in a suburban fantasy world. Two teenage brothers who are elves embark on a quest to discover that there is still magic out there. The stars, the voices of Tom Holland, Chris Pratt, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and, of course, John Ratzenberger. Now, Jenny, I love this trailer when I saw it the first time. What'd you think of it?
Dude, me too. We watched it when we saw Star Wars, mm-hmm. The Rise of Skywalker, and my son was like, I want to see that, which is pretty rare for him. So yeah, it looked super fun. I think Tom Holland and Chris Pratt are adorable together in this, and it looks like a brotherly buddy road trip sort of movie in like a fairy tale world. Mm-hmm. So I think this is tremendous, and I cannot wait to watch this one. I'm super excited about this Pixar movie.
Mm-hmm. Scott, what did you think of this one?
I liked it. I'll probably go see it too. I like both Tom Holland and Chris Pratt and Julie Ruiz-Dreyfus and John Ratzenberger. So I think Pixar's – it's like after last year was kind of Disney's year, the regular Disney, I think this year is Pixar's year for a couple of hits. So I think this will do very well. And a good time of the year in early March. A lot of some schools have a week off in March, but mostly of them are in April or February. But you might get a good amount of kids in the month of March to see it. So I enjoyed it. Colorful, kind of a different kind of plot, and known voices. Boy, Tom Holland's got a lot to do, huh?
Right.
If he's not putting the suit on, he's doing this. So, I'm looking for. I agree with Jenny. I think it's gonna be exciting. I think it's a nice change for Pixar, and I'm looking forward to it.
Now, Tim, I know you're disappointed. It's only Tom Holland's voice, but what did you think of this trailer?
Yeah, he could be taking a suit off. God, why am I like this?
We all ask that every show we do ever.
I was going to say something mean about this movie, but I'm good. You guys can have it.
All right, well, we'll stick with you. Also coming out now, not trying to tell tales at a school, but I don't know if we all got a chance to watch this trailer, but The Way Back, a former high school basketball phenom struggling with alcoholism, is offered a coaching job at his alma mater. As the team starts to win, he may have a reason to confront his old demons, but will it be enough to set him on the road up to redemption? Starring Ben Affleck, Michaela Watkins, Janina Gavankar, Hayes MacArthur. Now, What do you think of Ben Affleck and where his career has taken him, Tim?
I think that this movie could be called Manchester by the Court. here's the thing. I kind of like these sad Affleck brothers movies. That's another popular genre on Netflix. And well,
Manchester by the Sea was Amazon Prime. So depressing.
It's right under, you know, it's so on the one hand, it's sad Ben Affleck, which I mean, he looks very sad and very
hot
punk. Okay. sure. Throughout much of the trailer, and I would assume much of the movie. On the other hand, basketball. And I'm like, I know it's not like a sports movie, but it's going to be one of those, oh, he's redeemed by his players and finds a new reason for living. Da, da, da. Or I guess they could subvert that and, like, he, you know, commit suicide at the end of it.
Jesus Christ!
Boy, that took a dark turn.
This entire review should be edited.
It's the holidays.
We've had Dark Steve, now we have Dark Tim. What's wrong with you?
This movie would be much better if he blew his fucking brains out at the end.
I didn't say it'd be better. I'm just saying they might do that. It's just, it's a sad Affleck movie. Come on.
God.
Although I will say, I hope it's more of that than it is sports movie. And, yeah, I think he looks good in it. I don't know that the movie is for me, because it's just two very, very competing genres here of depressed Ben Affleck and basketball movie. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with this one.
Okay. Scott, do you know what to do with this one?
It sounds a lot like a 2020 version of Hoosiers, and I love Hoosiers. I can't get the vision of what Tim just has now painted a picture of, you know, the team celebrating and then Ben Affleck's hanging by a noose off the fucking rim. So, I mean, you know, I don't know, but
I didn't put it quite that way. I don't think so.
Anyway,
I got to come together.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll see this in the theater, but I'll probably check it out when it hits, you know, Netflix or whatever. I may wait to hear from people that have seen it. I'm the opposite of Tim because I love a good sports movie, obviously. So if it is kind of a darker version of, say, Hoosiers, I might hop on it. But I'm going to wait and see what people say about it before I decide whether I'm going to see it or not. I think I want to get people's opinions.
Jenny, what do you think of this one?
Well, Tim calls it sad Affleck. I call it daddy Affleck. He is in full effect dad mode here. Alcoholic dad mode, even better in the hotness scale. And this, I think this is good for Ben Affleck in his career because God bless him. You know, he's been everywhere. He's been fucking Batman, right? And then it's just like he needs a redemption story. So maybe this can be it. Like it looked Oscar worthy to me. Like it looked like this is the sort of thing that wins him awards, but like deservedly so. But I'm a huge Affleck mark, so I cannot be trusted on any of my takes when it comes to him. But I think he looks amazing in this. I really do want to see it. Don't see me going to the theater. I love you, Ben, so much. But, probably going to be a rental for me, but I know that I will love you, and you'll be amazing.
All right.
It definitely made me want to drink vodka in the shower.
Two shots.
Of vodka.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So coming out on March 20th is A Quiet Place Part 2. excuse me. Let me read the summary, which is not on your sheets. Following the events at home, the Abbott family now face the terrors of the outside world. Forced to venture into the unknown, they realize that the creatures that hunt by sound are not only the only ones that lurk beyond the sand path. Now, this stars also Emily Blunt, Cillian Murphy, and Noah Jupe, whoever that is. So, Scott, I didn't see A First Quiet Place. It's actually sitting on my DVR, and this is probably going to spoil a little bit, but who cares? It's however many years old. But did you see the first Quiet Place?
I didn't.
No.
So, I cannot comment on this one. The trailer looked, I found a teaser. And it looked, it looked all right, I guess. I don't know. But it does motivate me now to see the first one. And if I like the first one, then I'll probably go see this. Mm-hmm. So I will withhold opinion until I see the first one and decide if I think it's worth, for me, if it's worth seeing the second one.
Jenny, did you see the first one?
I did see the first one. I liked it a lot. It's so if you're like me, when you're watching these movies at home, you kind of sit on your phone and like halfway pay attention mm-hmm. to the movie. Mm-hmm. And this one's really easy to do that with. The first one was because it's very, very silent. So it's not like you have to pay attention to any dialogue or anything. It's just like you can check in every 5-10 minutes and figure out what's happened with the movie. This looks more along that line. My note says, yeah, like, okay, be quiet and all. So just be quiet and all. I like what's her face in this?
Emily Blunt?
Emily Blunt. I do like her a lot. So I'm sure she will be great. And I think it will be as successful as the first one.
Okay. Tim, now, did you see the first Quiet Place?
I did. Wow. I was also a fan. Yeah. Look at me seeing movies. Jenny is correct in that it is a very easy watch, but a pretty enjoyable one, too. And John Krasinski directed that first one as well, didn't he?
Yes.
So he is still on board here as director. And I guess all we've seen so far is that kind of teaser trailer, which is very much sort of banking on the goodwill of that first movie. I will say it wasn't the type of story that kind of demanded or was setting up for a sequel necessarily. So I can't really say I saw this coming, but seems like they've still got the right personnel in place at the very least. So I'm pretty optimistic for what we're going to do here. Is this going to be the start of like a regular thing? I don't know, but I'm pretty pumped for it.
All right, cool. Yeah, I mean, if I have the first one in my DVR, if I can, you know, find a time to watch it, I will definitely, and if I like it, I will definitely try to visit this in the theater. And closing out our preview tonight, coming out on the 27th of March is the live-action version of Mulan. A young Chinese maiden disguises herself as a male warrior in order to save her father. It's based on the original Disney Mulan that came out probably, I want to say, in the late 90s. I'll have to look that up while we chat. It stars Donnie Yen, Jet Li, Li Gong, Yifu Liu. Now, Jenny, we're going to start with you. What did you think of this one? Now, they're going to change it up a little bit. Doesn't look like there's Mushu and there's the introduction of a witch. What do you think of this one?
Okay, so as far as the live-action Disney remakes, I have not seen any of those. Unless you count the live version of Little Mermaid, which was on a...
Well, that doesn't really count.
Disney wants to admit anything about that.
Yeah, there's a Little Mermaid live action coming out. I don't know if it's later in 2020 or 2021.
So anyway, when I saw the trailer for this, it looked so different from what looks like a shot-to-shot remake, what they've kind of done with like Aladdin or The Lion King. So this looks more authentic in a way to the Mulan story, mm-hmm. which I wasn't admittedly a huge fan of, but when I saw this trailer, I was like, this looks legit. Like, this is like on par of what they should do when they eventually get to like a Pocahontas remake. So it looks authentic to the time period, and it still looks relevant for things that are going on today. So I was super impressed by this trailer, and I would love to watch this movie. I hope I get the chance to.
All right. Tim, what did you think of this one?
I guess Mulan is next in line for this type of treatment. I don't know that I ever saw the original Mulan. Mm-hmm. I think I was just sort of aged out of the Disney animated features by that point.
Yeah, it was
so,
1998.
Okay, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it. So I can't say I have much of an opinion on this. It will probably spark as much debate as these things always do. So I'd like to think they're headed in the right or a better direction. So I hope Jenny is correct in her assessment.
All right. And Scott, what do you think of this one?
I'm going to echo every single word that Jenny said. I was not a big fan of the first one. I didn't like the animated, but I watched the trailer and I'm like, she is a fucking badass. I am all in. I am all in on this one. I think they're going to make this live action more encompassing to everybody and not just, like for kids or whatever. Cause I want to see her fuck shit up in this one. So I'm all in on this. This is exactly the tone that I think that this one needs, out of the animated. I did not see the new Aladdin. I did see the new, Lion King, and I liked it. I liked it a lot, actually. Well, it really wasn't that much different than the 1994, and the 1994 is practically perfect. But I was not crazy about the animated Mulan, but I'm actually very interested in this one. I feel like they kind of adulted it a little bit and made it more of an action thriller. I mean, as far as Disney would go, obviously, I don't think we're going to see a ton of blood or, you know, beheadings or whatever. Maybe it will. Who knows? But I think that it's definitely going to go down a darker path. And I'm excited for that. So I saw the trailer and I watched the trailer before Star Wars myself. Mm-hmm. And I kind of knew they're about to talk about Mulan. And I look at my brother and I go, yeah, this is going to be another live action shit fest from not a very good animated. And as the trailer's going on, I'm like, what the fuck am I watching here? It's like watching the Kabuki Warriors. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, now she needs to do a spit mist, and I am all in. So yeah, I'm definitely going to see this. Mm-hmm. I was not expecting to. This is one of the few times for me that a trailer did a complete 180. I was not expecting to go see this. I am definitely seeing it.
All right, cool. So that's going to wrap up our look ahead at the winter and early spring movies. Lots of interesting choices out there. It's surprising things that we may see come out of the theaters. And, you know, hopefully everybody goes out and enjoys and sees something and gets pleasantly surprised and, you know, just have a good time. So let's talk about what everybody got going on, what's coming up on their prospective shows, feeds, what have you. Jenny, what's going on in your neck of the woods on the Jenny Position and your other various and sundry shows?
Dude, so much. Miranda and I had a holiday episode called Tingle Tales. Now, you hear the immature giggling from the peanut gallery there, and that means that Miranda and I reviewed a short story, I guess you can call it.
A mature story, or
immature story, from author Chuck Tingle, who is prolific in his genre, and we had a blast doing that. So definitely check out Tingle Tales from Geek and Sassy. Also, I will have a holiday edition of Freak Out Drive-In, which me and my friend Sarah, who has never done a podcast before, watched Black Christmas, the original from the 70s. So that was a lot of fun. And, oh my gosh, who knows? There's a talk and pop up, which me and my dear sweet love, Tim, had a holiday happy hour part two, and it was a blast. So check that one out as well.
All right. Tim, what do you got going on?
Well, the aforementioned talk and pop, holidays under the influence part two. We had some stories.
Fun show.
Stories from, mm-hmm. yeah, from a guest on this show, among others in the Place to Be Nation and Jenny Position communities. So very fun stuff there on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. As you mentioned in my fractional introduction, Andy, one quarter of the Marvel Age podcast with Nick Duke, with Todd Weber, with Russell Sellers, and we have finished out the year 1972 in Marvel Comics. This was a series of three podcasts that we did, and we got together and knocked out the third and final part of 1972. So you can look for that probably by the time you are hearing this podcast. And if not, certainly very, very soon. That is the Marvel Age podcast right here on Placement Nation. Pop. And God, what else? I think that's gonna, I think that's going to do it for my purposes.
Okay, Scott, what's going on over with you over on the wrestling feed and various other
Jesus
stuff?
Jesus Christ. Oh, God.
All right. Let's see. Coming up, I don't even know when the fuck this is coming up, but at some point, the next episode of the Place to Be podcast on the wrestling feed, myself and my PIC, Mr. Azzaro, we are going to continue the build to WrestleMania 6. With a few guests as we watch the Primetime Wrestling Ultimate Challenge episode and get you all ready for WrestleMania 6. Place to Be Nation's main event is on hiatus for the holidays. We'll be back second week of January. The diamond here of the gems will let us know when we are going to have our next episode of Jenny and the Gems, because I think I know what we're going to do. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And so we'll be having that at some point.
Hashtag Tony in sweatpants.
Tony in fucking sweatpants. Not a wolf in sweatpants, but Tony in sweatpants. So we're looking forward to that. Over the pop feed, let us see. Oh God, what the fuck am I doing? I'm doing this with you. Let's see. There will be a the next episode of Year in Pop somewhere down the line. What's that, early February, I guess. We'll be finally delving into our next decade of 1980. Oh, we will be doing a special. All three of you will be on, along with a couple of others, to wrap up the Skywalker saga, and we will talk about the Star Wars franchise from beginning to end, at least the Skywalker saga from beginning to end, and its influence on pop culture and movies over the last 42 years. So that'll be a lot of fun. And, yeah, so a lot of stuff coming up on both the pop and wrestling feeds as we say goodbye to the 2010s and say hello to the 2020s, Mr. Atherton.
Yes. Okay. Great. Great stuff. This is actually my final show for the year. And the
they decided to want to do one on Friday.
but coming up, like he's talking about, Scott said, we have new the next episode of Year in Pop where we start the new decade of the 80s. It should be a lot of fun. Look for that late January, early February. Looking for to do a new great debate coming in January. Also, check me out on Body Press Your Luck, along with Mr. Rosero and George Duncan.
Check you out.
Okay. Well, I'm not. Well, I'm the third man. I'm the timekeeper and score guy. But you know, I'll talk every 5 minutes maybe. On the what?
You hear the tingle?
Oh, I've been called worse.
Not the Chuck tingle.
You the Chuck tingle. Charles
also,
Tingle.
And also, this crew's going to be back. We're going to do our fall-winter movie wrap-up coming early February. And then I'm cashing in my win in last year's summer movie wager contest. That's right. We're going to be doing the live watch of Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So look for that coming in February.
Be a lot of ice clinging in that episode.
Mm-hmm. Hey, bring it on. That's the point of the episode.
Yeah. Don't worry about editing coughing. That'll be the least of your problems.
Okay. So, I want to thank you guys for joining me tonight and talking about some movies.
We can just end this.
I know. Try and end it. You all won't shut up.
Just say goodbye.
For the giggling Jenny Smith. For the cackling Scott Criscolo. And for the heckling Tim Capo. I'm Andy Hazard. Thank you for joining us. Looking forward to looking back. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.
This is our last podcast ever.
Earth over.
It'd be a great book.
Swift as a coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon, with all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
Okay. Fucking okay.
Oh God.